Testing one.
Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Charles 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, 5 Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat radio program. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College, a public safety and private security career school. And we're glad to have you aboard this morning on this edition. We're going to be talking here in just a few moments about the dangers of an initiative by a number of the large police agencies and even some of the smaller police agencies across the country, what I refer to as the new soft touch approach to policing. And it's very concerning. I've talked about this with my colleagues in law enforcement. I've talked about this with other trainers nationally, and we're going to discuss this coming up. This morning, we also, unfortunately, for the fifth week in a row, we have to acknowledge and announce that this has been another confrontational and deadly weekend for private security. This is the fifth weekend in a row where we've had security officers killed on the job. This weekend, we had two. Last weekend, we had two. I believe in the last five weekends, there's been about 13 or 14 security officers killed in the line of duty. And it's a very tragic increase that we're seeing across the country. We've mentioned numerous times over the years, even on this radio program, that, you know, the weather does really play a role into law enforcement and security officer confrontations, injuries, and deaths. And this year certainly is no different at all. There was a little bit of a slower start than we have seen in years past, but, you know, it rapidly picked up, and the weather definitely plays a role. You have more people out, more people are involved in drinking of alcohol, loitering, partying, hanging out. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, as a matter of fact. He and I both grew up in the north, and I said, oh, I'm just sitting out on the stoop. The stoop. If you're from New York or the New England area, you recognize that word, the stoop, the porch, the step. And a lot of people are just sitting out on the stoop, on the porch, hanging out. A lot of people are enjoying themselves at picnics and so on and so forth. A lot more security officers are at work and active during the nicer weather, spring, summer, and fall. Very busy for private security and law enforcement. These are the times, the months, the weeks, the days when you get those disturbance calls, you get those intoxicated person calls, you get those trespasser calls, you get those fight calls, because unlike very cold weather in the winter, when people are generally, you know, stuck indoors watching TV, they're out and about. And so, unfortunately, this time of year, we do see a lot of increases in law enforcement and private security officer deaths. Now, just yesterday, our office compiled some numbers. We'll be releasing next week the numbers for the first half of 2016. But during their calculations, they let me know that 87% of security officers killed this year so far has been by gunfire. 87%, including the security officers killed this weekend, were by gunfire. If you don't have body armor, if you don't wear a vest, I know a lot of private security personnel cannot afford it. I know it's been an issue for years. We've talked about it over and over. If I were working any assignment, it doesn't matter if it's the office at a high rise or the shopping mall or an apartment complex, I would definitely find a way, really, to finance the cost of body armor. Whether or not you think you need it, it's kind of like insurance. I have insurance. I don't always like to pay those premiums. I don't always like the cost, the rising premiums every year. And I seldom use insurance. In fact, I haven't used auto insurance in over 30 years. I have it. I pay for it. But I don't use it. I hope I never have to use it. But it's good to know that should something happen, I have it. It's the same thing with body armor or any equipment that you might carry on your duty belt. It's not that you want to use it every day. It's not that you're hoping to use it. I don't hope every day I have to use my firearm, but thank goodness I've got one. I've got it with me in case a situation arises where I have to use deadly force. Body armor is a necessity in this day and age, whether you are law enforcement or private security. Just in the last few months, a very tragic situation happened not too far from the campus of our school in Richmond, Virginia, where a state trooper was on special assignment at the Greyhound bus station. And for whatever reason, he did not wear his vest. I don't know if he just thought he was, I don't know what he thought, and I don't want to really speculate, but in any event, he didn't wear his vest that day. And they got involved in a confrontation with the person, and unfortunately, the trooper lost his life. It may have been different had he been wearing his body armor. 87% of private security this year so far has been killed by gunfire. Think about it. Whether you think you can afford it, whether or not you think it's necessary, I hope to change your mind. There's always a way I've learned through life to finance, to find a way to buy what it is you want. For those of you who are still smokers, I bet you always find a way to pay for that $6 pack of cigarettes every day or two. If you're a drinker, I bet you find a way to buy that alcohol when you want it. There's always a way to find the money. You could put a little aside every week. You could even purchase a used vest, body armor. Body armor these days, they're rated for 5 years, but trust me, they are still good after that 5 years. I strongly urge that you find a way to find a way to purchase body armor. All right, well, we told you that several security officers were killed, and one of those this week was Travis Mason. He was 24 years old. It was just his second week on the job. Second week on the job. He was a security officer at a marijuana dispensary in Aurora, Colorado. That's a suburb of Denver, Colorado. And two armed robbers came in, and he was shot multiple times, multiple times. The press release did not say how many exactly, but it did say multiple times, and he succumbed to his injuries shortly thereafter. Now, I've been asked whether or not he was armed or unarmed. From my knowledge and dealing with other dispensaries in Colorado, the majority are armed, but I cannot definitively say whether or not Mr. Mason was armed. I don't know. What I do know is that something happened. It was very tragic, and he lost his life. 87% of private security are killed by gunfire. This is the fifth weekend where security officers have been killed. I want to leave you with those thoughts, and I want you to digest them. Think about them. Because, unfortunately, it's not going to go away. It's not something that's just going to disappear. It's not just, oh, this was just one of those weekends or one of those situations. It's not like that at all. As you know, if you followed our radio shows, our newsletters, or website, we have been tracking security officer injuries and deaths, workplace violence for the past 12 years. The only thing that we see is that it's rising, increasing, as private security continues to do more and more law enforcement type duties. More and more security officers are getting out of the guard shack, the warehouse, and getting involved in investigating, apprehending violators, questioning suspects. And so these things do result with more contact with the criminal element. Unfortunately, there will be more assaults, more injuries, and more deaths. This is the industry that we're in. This is the business that we're in. This is what we've signed up for. I hope that most of you understand that and take some extra steps to train yourself. Last week we spoke about 5 tips to better officer safety. If you missed those, our radio shows are always available online 24/7. We have cataloged them in our library. We also have them on iTunes, Raspberry, and several other platforms, as well as the satellite channel. We want to thank our sponsors for being with us and helping us to bring this radio show to you every week, brought to you by Body Armor USA. Now, there's a company you can rely on if you do want body armor, the top of the line. Check them out online at Body Armor USA, because we've got what it takes to protect you. They have slash-resistant vests and gloves, several of the top lines of body armor, and they definitely can help you. We also want to thank our sponsor, 1-800-TimeClocks.com. They, for many, many years, have provided businesses, including security services, with tracking for timekeeping devices, record-keeping, and so forth. They now offer a great web-based security officer reporting software. So check them out. Give them a call today at 1-800-846-3256 or online at 1-800-timeclocks.com. Whenever we're on the air, you can send us an email at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and be sure to check us out online on our social media pages simply by going to our website at privateofficer.com. And right there at the bottom is our media, social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, and about a half a dozen other locations as well. Be sure to also sign up for our newsletters, breaking news alerts, and training schedule alerts, because you really don't want to miss out. You're not really up to speed unless you're getting our newsletters and our breaking news, because if you're interested at all in the industry that you're working for, this is eye-opening. We're going to talk a lot about a lot of news and about soft touch policing and patrolling for both security as well as public safety. And we're going to talk about the memorial ride and some breaking news and a whole bunch more stuff in just a moment.
Hi, I'm an actor, and that qualifies me to talk to you about social issues. And even though my opinion is controversial, I believe that racism is wrong. Now today, what I would like you to do is take a look at your skin color and hug somebody that has a different color skin. We can stop racism together, one hug at a time. Definitely ask permission before you hug somebody. Thank you.
How often do you text and drive? No, really, think about it. You're driving down the road and your phone buzzes, beeps, or hollers. Do you take a peek? If you answered yes, you're risking your life and the lives of others. A recent AT&T survey asked 1,200 teens about texting and driving, and the results were quite scary. 61% of teenagers who answered questions say they look at their phone while driving. 43% of them say they actually text while driving, and they know it's not safe. Because in that exact same survey, almost all of the teens said texting and driving is dangerous. And when they're sitting in a red light, more teens think it's okay to mess with their phones. 73% glance at their messages, while 60% of them send one. But that could be just as dangerous, because did you know, thousands of crashes happen each year at intersections with traffic lights. And peer pressure could be to blame, because 9 out of every 10 teens surveyed expect a reply within 5 minutes. And adults aren't helping, at least from the teenager's perspective, because 77% of teens said adults tell kids not to text and drive, yet do it themselves all the time. So what will make them stop? 89%.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat. It's about 18 minutes after the hour, 18 minutes after 7 a.m. on the East Coast here on this lovely summer day, the 21st of June, 2016. That's right, it's summer. If you missed it, yesterday was the first official day, the solstice, the longest day of the year. But if you've missed it, well, enjoy summer today. Start all over. Today's a brand new day, the first day of the rest of your life. But it really is summertime, and we've got the high 90s. It's going to be about 95 degrees here today. Out on the West Coast, Southern California is really under the heat, about 120 degrees in some areas. Many areas are roasting, literally. My understanding is, as of yesterday, 9 people have died because of the heat. So if you are working outside, whether on patrol or traffic duty or whatever it might be sure that you do stay well hydrated, that you drink a lot of water, take breaks in the shade, and keep yourself as cool as possible. We're going to be talking in a few minutes about I guess this very politically charged subject. In fact, I know I'm walking into the lion's den with this one. But we're going to be talking about soft touch policing, both in private security as well as law enforcement, and the reversal that some police agencies are undertaking. There's a lot of controversy with this. There's a lot of old school officers who are fighting this, don't believe in it. And I certainly can understand their feelings. I can understand both sides, but we're going to be talking about this coming up in just a few moments. I do want to remind you that every year, Private Officer International sponsors a Memorial Week, the Private Officer Memorial Week for those security and private law enforcement officers who are slain, killed on the line of duty, who die on the line of duty. Some are not feloniously assaulted or killed, but some actually do die in car wrecks, heart attacks, and medical conditions on the job. But the majority do die from traumatic injuries as a direct result of a felonious assault. With that being said, remember that this year, the Private Officer Memorial Week will be September 18th through the 24th. This is really very unique. It's the only Memorial Week that I know of that really highlights those who have been killed while trying to protect life and property, other than law enforcement or other public safety officials, officers, firefighters, and so forth. Those agencies have always memorialized their personnel when they die in the line of duty. Private security, never. Never. But we have sponsored this since we began the association in 2004. If you need more information, please contact us at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. In addition to the Memorial Week, we have for the last 6 years sponsored a memorial ride and memorial services. These are full-blown memorial services like you would see in a law enforcement officer's funeral. They include the honor guard, singing, tributes. We have dignitaries, law enforcement officials from local, state, and federal agencies. We have a keynote address by me, the founder of Private Officer International. We do a roll call. And I think that this is really something that everyone should be aware of, and everyone in the private security, public safety, and law enforcement industry should take part of. Now, this year, we're going to do at least a half a dozen in various locations throughout the country. If you want to sponsor it, if you want to donate it to it, you can go online to privateofficer.com and click the link to the memorial service, or you can just send us an email at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Like I said, we are the only association, business group, organization that I'm aware of that does such a thing. And if you've never heard of it and you need more information, please contact us. Just email helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Or you can call us Monday through Thursday in the business office, area code 704-831-0391, I believe it is. Just send us an email. That's really the best way. We're here 24/7 at the help desk. Someone's always monitoring, and we will be glad to assist you. If you haven't checked out armorcollege.org, our school's website, please do so today. We have added a substantially large number of new courses, and some of the courses are specific to the private security industry. We now have a protection specialist course. This is really an easy way to become credentialized. It's very important that if you're going to be in this industry, whether you're going to be a mall security agent or a school security officer or a private police officer, that you do become credentialed and do it through a accredited or certified school or provider of training, which we are. And this is really something that will help you perform your job better, as well as in your efforts for promotion and moving up the ladder. Again, check out the courses at armorcollege.org. If you are a current POI member, we offer discounts for you as well. And if you are a business, school, or security training academy, we offer group rates, and we also have on-site programs where we can bring any of the training to you on your schedule and do it right there at your office, school, church, or business location. So contact us. You can call the school at area code 804-290-4388 or send them an email at helpdesk@armour.org. And either Bill Watkins or Randy Baker or one of those fine gentlemen will get back with you. We have a lot of news happening. I just want to briefly touch today on a couple of items in the news. If you want to follow us, you want to follow our news, you simply just go to our website at privateofficer.com and sign up for our newsletters and breaking news, but you can also follow our news blogs there as well. Over the weekend in North Carolina, in Greensville, North Carolina, a security officer was involved in a gun battle that began as two men fighting inside a Waffle House. They spilled out into the parking lot, and one man was armed. Shots were fired. The security officer went out to intervene. She got involved in a gun battle. Literally, they exchanged numerous gunshots. Luckily, nobody was injured. Nobody was shot. The suspects escaped before law enforcement could arrive on the scene. The security officer was a little shook up, but not injured, and she did a great job. I don't know who she worked for, the name of the company, or even her name, because the news article and the subsequent press release didn't mention either, but we are looking into it. So if you're listening and you know who it is, or if it's you, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Also in Antioch, California, on June the 15th, early in the morning around 10 o'clock, I guess that's not really early, but for some folks it is. For some folks, they're still in bed. 2 p.m. might be early. But Antioch police say that a security officer on duty at a Wells Fargo noticed a suspicious new vehicle in the parking lot that was keeping an eye on the bank. He continued to monitor the suspect in the vehicle. And it was just before an armored truck was about to pull in. The person continued to monitor the comings and goings of staff and customers. He felt uneasy. He notified police. They investigated. They found that the man, a felon, had a sawed-off shotgun, a .357, some meth and other drugs. And police feel that he probably stopped a armored car robbery, and it sounds like he did. So congratulations and kudos to him. Again, we don't know who he was. The news articles and even press releases often do not give the security officer's name or employer. Sometimes that's for security reasons, and other times it's just because they didn't obtain it. I don't really know why. But again, if you're listening or you know who that was, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com because he really did a great job. Police in Waterloo, Iowa have arrested six Illinois men who are responsible for numerous armed robberies of cell phone stores. The group, which are currently locked up still, was arrested after an investigation. The men are wanted on at least a dozen robberies in Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and possibly other locations. Little Rock police say that they're having a hard time recruiting. And we've seen this at other police departments as well. Unfortunately, with the negativity going on right now in law enforcement. A lot of millennials and folks aren't applying like they used to for law enforcement because of the stigma of police work these days, because of the problems with Ferguson and other locations. And those officers in charge of recruitment really are having a tough time in many spots. But if you're looking for a job and you want to go to Little Rock, Arkansas, they are hiring about 70 police officers. So check them out. In Attleboro, a hospital security officer was injured during a scuffle, a confrontation with a unruly patient. Police say that the suspect, a 26-year-old man, was taken into custody. The security officer is doing fine. We did lose a police officer yesterday in Patton Village, Texas. Unfortunately, Sergeant Baumgartner was involved in a pursuit and a traffic collision, and he passed away. A Fort Worth security officer shot a man during a confrontation in an apartment complex. Evidently, it resulted in a domestic disturbance. He got involved. He was assaulted, and he opened fire on the suspect. The bounty hunter in Springfield, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville, was involved in a chase, foot chase, and he shot his firearm. Nobody was injured there. There's just a lot of news to tell you about. If you want to see all of the news that's breaking, just go to our website and link on to our breaking news segment. We have a full-time news department, as we've told you before, and some of you know. There's just so much happening and just so much to keep up with. We'll be right back.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
Tuesday morning on the 21st of June, 2016. It's about, it's early in the morning. It's 33 minutes after the hour. We're glad you're here. We just had someone email and contact us asking about donating to the Benevolent Fund. Private Officer International has for many years assisted security officers who are injured. We've assisted families of those who have been killed. If you would like to donate to our Benevolent Fund, or if you would like to donate to the Private Officer Memorial Ride coming up in September, just go to our website at privateofficer.com. About halfway down the page, you'll see a block that says Memorial Services and Information. You can link there and donate. You can also contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll instruct you further on how to do that. If you want to do it as a company, we have we have different programs right now for corporate sponsorship, including free advertisement on our websites and other things. Just check all that information out at our website at privateofficer.com. In just a couple of moments, we are going to be talking about the new politically correct, I guess, way of policing, and it's definitely going to roll over to private security if it hasn't already. I mean, for many years, private security has already used the observe and report only model, which really was fictitious, but now with the way that society is going with all of the use of force situations and incidents, many companies and law enforcement agencies are looking at ways to be a little softer, have a softer approach. And we're going to talk about that and the negatives and the dangers involved in doing that. We also have an email just a moment ago asking about being an instructor for privateofficer.com or Armor College. And the way that works really is just send an email again to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and they will put you in touch with the right person at Armor to get you involved. We also are franchising our Armor Colleges. You don't have to have an Armor College site. It can be an Armor Institute, which is a certificate, public safety certificate program based type school, where we would offer about 50 different types of courses there at your school, which would really generate more foot traffic and more customers and ultimately help you to increase your business. Again, the best way to contact the school is just send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. They'll relay your information and help you with that. We really appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you for those emails. And if you want to contact us, even if we're off the air, just send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you haven't perused our website, please do so at privateofficer.com. You're going to find a lot of good information there. You're going to find a lot of free stuff, but we do prefer that you become a member. If you're not already a member, now is the time to join before the membership fees, dues, costs go up, which they will in September. But right now we have a lifetime membership that we're offering for just $99. So check it out today. Again, if you have any questions, need any help, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I want to talk for a few moments in this half hour of the Private Officer Beat about this very politically correct and politically charged subject. And like I said earlier, I know I'm walking into the lion's den with this topic, but I just feel it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed for schools, campus, law enforcement and security who are going in this direction, private security, especially those who have patrol officers and people who respond to alarms and crimes in progress, and private law enforcement officers. We're talking about this new philosophy of soft touch policing. There are a number of police agencies, and again, I know I'm saying police, and a lot of my audience is security, but this is going to roll over, if it hasn't already, to private security, to your department, to your company, your agency. I will guarantee it. But there's a lot of talk nationally about law enforcement and security being too heavy-handed, too willing to use deadly force, too willing to use any level of force. And there's a lot of efforts right now in many, many agencies, many states, and even with the federal government trying to push law enforcement into being more hands-off, more conversational. A large program at the LAPD, Los Angeles Police, is titled Being the Guardians of the Community. For many years, law enforcement and security officers and agents have been taught about being warriors, being the thin blue line, the person who stands between the right and the wrong, the person who's got the finger in the hole in the wall, keeping the wall from coming down. But the philosophy now with many agencies and with the public and with the news media and with government officials all the way up to the federal limit, really just, they have it wrong, but they think they have it right. They are just preaching and pushing toward having non-confrontational interactions with the public most of the time. In their world, they think that law enforcement is the aggressor, that private security is the aggressor. And this type of training and this type of mentality and this type of philosophy will not work, but it will get many private and public officers injured and killed. We have seen it in the last year. There was an Ohio police officer, and there's video of this across the internet. Many of you probably have even seen it. The law enforcement officer in Ohio stopped the vehicle. He already knew that the driver was a murder suspect. He killed his wife hours earlier. He was known to be armed. He stopped the vehicle. The driver got out. The driver began to advance toward the officer. The officer had his firearm out. The driver of the vehicle made several movements toward his waistband. He told the officer he had a gun. He told the officer he would not give up. He told the officer to shoot him, and he kept advancing, and the officer kept backpedaling, backing up. Well, he was on a street, and he had the room to do that. What if you're in a closed quarter environment? What if you're in a room where you can't back up? You have to either fight or flee. You have to use some level of force. In this situation, luckily, backup officers came. They were able to get the guy into custody. I believe they used a taser on him. A situation in Colorado a few months afterwards on a traffic stop. Again, the officer had every right in the world to use deadly force. The person went into his waistband. Ultimately, he did have a gun, but the police officer continued backing away, screaming at him, giving verbal commands, and eventually used lethal force. But he could have used lethal force earlier. The point in all of this is that you're going to see a lot more officers injured, a lot more killed. Whose fault? Whose fault? Everyone wants to point the finger. Everyone wants to point the blame. Everyone wants to say, you know, who's at fault? Whose fault is it that there is an increase in officer-involved shootings? Whose fault is it that deadly force is being applied more frequently than maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago? Whose fault? Is it the fault of the gun stores for selling guns? Is it the fault of the officer for being too fast on the draw? Everyone wants to find fault. Everyone wants to point the finger, but no one really has the answer. No one really has the correct answer. The answer is really simple. It's right there in front of their eyes. And anyone who's been in law enforcement or security or around public safety understands that the threat level for officers is drastically increasing yearly. And the reason for that is more and more people are confrontational. More and more people are non-compliant. When you tell someone to get on the ground because they're under arrest and they don't get on the ground, or if you tell someone to put their hands behind their back or to get out of the vehicle and they don't comply, a law enforcement has two choices. He can either escalate the level of force to bring that person into compliance, or he can back away and go home and say, yeah, we'll start over tomorrow. Option two is not really an option at all, because law enforcement, once they begin, once they're involved, once they are arresting someone by law, they just can't back away. They would be found guilty of dereliction of duty. They would be found guilty of not doing their job. The public has a misconception that they have a right to resist the police. They have a misconception that it's their duty, if they don't believe it's a legal arrest, to resist. It's not their right or duty. It's a dangerous game that many are playing. The fact is, it could be an unlawful arrest. It could be no probable cause situation. But that's for the court to decide at a different time and place. It's not to argue and fight and resist the police or security out in the parking lot, on the road, or wherever you might be. We see many people resisting security officers. They don't believe that security personnel have the right to detain or arrest, and they do. In every state, they can detain, and in many states, they can arrest. We've quoted the numbers. Just recently, private security made over 1.7 million detentions, arrests, apprehensions in 2015. We continue to see those numbers continue to go up. You know, loss prevention themselves made about 1 million detentions, arrests, apprehensions of shoplifters and other violators of the law. Those agencies, those politicians, those private companies who want to be politically correct, who no longer want to teach the right response to threat, are creating dangerous environments for their personnel, dangerous situations for their employees. Many of these new training methods include more talking, less force. Well, I understand. Let me just address that very quickly. Whether you're in law enforcement or private security, public safety, we all know that anytime that we are addressing an individual, whether we're investigating, whether we're detaining somebody suspected of a crime or arresting someone, it all begins with assessment. We've talked about assessment many times. Evaluating the situation. Assessing the threat. Who are we dealing with? What are they involved in? What is the suspected crime? Because all of that information will dictate from that point on how we respond and whether or not any force is warranted. The politicians and some of the police agencies are talking about de-escalation skills and amping up their de-escalation training. Well, let me tell you something. Even private security has been taught de-escalation, but law enforcement has certainly been taught de-escalation skills for more than 30 years. We've been taught in depth about lethal and less lethal and when to and when not to and assessment. I agree that we need to assess the situation. I agree that we really don't always need to charge in with guns a-blazing, but all begins with assessment. There are definitely times when we can de-escalate, when we can talk down the person. Private security does this frequently because many private security officers are unarmed. They have to use their verbal judo. They have to use their communication skills to be able to talk down the person until at least backup gets there, until at least law enforcement arrives. But I want to caution you, no matter what position you have, no matter what agency, department, company that you work for, it's important to have good assessment skills. There's a time and a place for verbal judo. There's a time and a place for de-escalation. But if you are in a situation where you're facing imminent attack, imminent danger, imminent death, talking will not save you. And you will need to know the correct level of force to use to confront that threat. There are definitely other options in some incidents, but it all begins with assessment, with clear thinking, with training, experience. All of that combined allows you to be aware of what's going on and calculate the risk and understand the threat and determine the right amount of force, if any, that should be applied. Now, we teach, and there's a new model for use of force. It's called the constitutional or command model. It's something you need to be familiar with. It helps you to decide what level of force should be used. And rather than go up the step ladder or, one step above, blah, 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 like they used to teach in the force continuum, now you use whatever level of force is necessary. If you are constitutionally protected, if it's a lawful arrest, if it's a lawful stop, that's where it really all begins. We all know that many of these unfortunate use of force incidents, both with private security and law enforcement, begin with very minor crimes, many with traffic stops, moving violations, but we can't scrub the rules and regulations of the property. We can't overlook and not enforce traffic laws just because they may end up in a confrontation with the driver. We can't just decide, let's throw out 15 of these laws, 200 of these laws. Well, that's what's happening in some agencies. Some departments have restricted officers from conducting certain traffic stops. Some security agencies and campus departments have stopped interacting or confronting suspicious persons or those trespassing because they don't want them to be involved in confrontations or use of force. So let's just let anyone enter our property and not confront them. Let's just let anyone do whatever they want, violate any law, any policy, any regulation. Let this all go whichever way it will, and let's sit back and not worry about it, basically, is what they're saying. Everyone knows everything, but very few have actually done the job. Too many people are second-guessing the officer. I admit there may be times, and there has been times, when people, law enforcement, private security, have used force when they shouldn't have. They used the wrong level of force. They escalated the situation themselves. That's true. It's going to happen. There really is no way to prevent it unless you just blanketly tell folks, don't confront anybody. Don't enforce any law. Let's all just go home. Let's just forget about what our job is. Let's be guardians of the community. We are protectors of the community. We are guardians of the community. And 90% of the people appreciate. 90% of the people abide by the law. 90% of the people are compliant. It's those 10%ers that you have to worry about. Those 10%ers who are continuously going through the system, going through the revolving door. It's those people who will never comply, no matter how soft touch, soft approach you want to approach them, no matter how gentle you're going to be, no matter how, hey, Joe, hey, you looking good today. You know, he just robbed somebody. Who's going to walk up to a suspect, a robbery suspect, and try and soft touch? Hey, you looking good? Yeah. Hey, how's the family? How's the kids? You know, how's the wife? Let's get real here. It all begins with assessment. We all understand what the job is. I do believe that we do need law enforcement and security, especially more training on use of force, more training on de-escalation. But I don't believe for one moment that the use of force incidents that we're seeing around the country is the direct result of improper training by law enforcement or gun-wielding officers, people who are trigger-happy. That's not what's happening out there. If you're in private security, law enforcement, public safety, I encourage you to get more training on use of force, but I also encourage you to have good assessment skills and good people skill and be able to determine the threat level quickly so that you can go home safe. That's going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Beat. We really appreciate all of our listeners being there. Be sure to check out the armorcollege.org website. Contact us if you're interested in being involved in the Private Officer Memorial Week or the Memorial Ride. Until the next program, y'all be safe out there. Be kind to each other. Be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.